and welcome to Faith Points, a weekly podcast from Faith Point United Methodist Church. If you'd like to join us for worship on Sunday morning or just want some more info, visit us on the web at faithpointum.org, or you can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/faithpointum, or you can find us on Facebook. And now, a weekly message from Pastor Chris Bishop.
Get into our message today, and we think about this idea of enthusiasm. A couple of people came to mind this week when I'm thinking about enthusiasm. Our cheerleader Aaron here at Faith Point is one of them, but a second one is my buddy Kane, who works summer camp with us. He's a he was on our leadership team last year. There he is, I think that wasn't last camp, but two camps ago, and he's throwing candy canes out because his persona, his superhero persona, was that he was something about like the candy cane, because his name is Kane, and it was super funny, and he had no other idea about what he wanted to do with it. And so he just would randomly throw candy canes out to people. But Kane, when you watch him, he is one of those leaders that is so understated in the way that he does things and so intentional about the way that he does them. It's fascinating to watch. And he does it so naturally that what he'll do is that if there's a group of kids in the kind of compound area where we are, just they're just standing around, he'll get a game of nine square going, and everybody will have a great time. And once he gets them going and having a great time, he'll go on and do something else, like in the little craft pavilion. And I don't know what happens in there, because that's like kryptonite to me, because I don't craft at camp. My mom does all of that, but he'll go and he'll get them all riled up, and then he'll leave. And he doesn't really help them. He just gets them riled up, and then he'll leave. But then when we go to worship and those kids that he was playing with and getting all stirred up, he'll kind of just say, all right, well, now it's time to praise God. And so we got to do that appropriately. And the kids will be like, oh, right, right. And so somehow, in this ethos that he has, he can take these kids that are at like 11 and bring them down in a way that keeps them kind of at 11, but 11 in a way that they are excited to then worship. Isn't that bananas? Like, out of this kid who's a senior in high school, and I saw him just the other day, he works at Roy Rogers, and so I was going through there, and like he apparently knew by either the camera that they have or by my voice. It's like, oh, Pastor Chris, I'm so excited to hear from you. I'm like, dude, this is a drive-thru. Why are you so excited? Right? And what sticks with me is that there was one, you know, last year, not the year that this picture was taken, but last year there was one of our student leaders who was just having a tough time engaging. And so he looked at him and he said, look, man, you've got to be here either way. So you can either choose to be grumpy on this chair, or you can get up with me and go throw water balloons at kids, and it's going to be way more fun, right? There's this perspective that Kane has that has this enthusiasm that is so infectious. And so as we continue on with this series that we've labeled Stay Positive, we've been looking at things like optimism and generosity. We've been looking at ways in which we are called to do these things. Like last week with our generosity, we've talked about how generosity and being generous is an investment in lasting joy. And so this week when we talk about enthusiasm, we're going to talk about how enthusiasm and living enthusiastically then focuses us on what God is doing now with our lives. In the same way that you know, we have this option and this opportunity to either sit on the bench or go engage. We have this option of life is going to happen, so either we are going to be wrung out by life. Anybody have one of those weeks where it feels like you have been wrung out by life, or maybe one of those days? So we have the option of saying, I'm going to be wrung out by life, or I'm going to wring the most out of life that I can. I'm going to live this abundant life that God has in store for me. And so as we think about that, one of my favorite illustrations, and one of the things that I think that Kane does so well, is that he decides if he's going to be a thermostat or a thermometer. Right? Have you heard this before? And so when we come into a room, we have this option of saying, am I going to adjust to the temperature of the room? Or am I going to be the one who changes that temperature? And so when we come in, you know, the thermometer just reacts to what is happening around it. It is getting wrung out by life. But a thermostat is going to say, I'm going to wring the most out of life that I can. I'm going to be that difference maker that says there's a bunch of kids standing around here not doing the things that they could be doing. And so they're going to miss out. So what if we start a game over here? What if we start getting the kids in the craft pavilion so wound up that they are going to have the best week of their lives? What happens when we reframe the way that we do worship in a way that we can be so excited and yet at the same time be worshiping so wholeheartedly? How can I be a person who makes those changes, right? Are we going to be a thermostat or a thermometer? The quote behind me says, a thermometer only reflects the temperature of its environment, adjusting to the situation, but a thermostat initiates action to change the temperature in the environment. How many times have you just think, when something has gone wrong at work or with a relationship or has stressed you out, maybe it's even just driving down the road on 270 trying to get to work, right? And if somebody just took the initiative to be a thermostat, and stepped in and said, man, this isn't that big of a deal. We can just make this little change. How that would have changed your entire day. Or if you made the decision, to live enthusiastically in a way that you know that the person who is coming out of that giant line, have you been behind the people that need your price check for absolutely everything and then gripe about the fact that it wasn't listed the right way? And so it takes 100 times longer. And you can see the person that's checking them out has had a terrible day. And if you just said, man, you're doing a really fantastic job today. I bet it's really hard to do this, but you are doing it really well, right? Just that allows you to be a thermostat in that situation and not add to it. And just those small words can change everything for them. So we have these ways of realizing that enthusiasm then focuses us on what God is doing today and that this is a choice to make. And so I wanted to just spend some time today talking about the way that this guy David in the Bible was really a thermostat when he chose to be. And sometimes he dialed the temperature down, and we'll see a little bit of that. But we're going to kind of focus on the way that he changed that temperature, because David was this guy who was a man after God's own heart, Scripture says. And so there's a couple of things that I want to touch on, but also there's one word that I want to really kind of focus on today, because what we see that David was this little shepherd boy, and he was the one that was forgotten in his entire life, that he had brothers that were bigger, stronger, older, that had the pecking order down, and so that when the prophet came to anoint the new king, he was out watching the fields, and all of his brothers were lined up before the prophet, and he goes, no, do you have any other sons? Well, we have this one that we haven't thought about, and it was David who was protecting the flocks from wolves and bears and things like that. And so the first thing that we learn is that David trusted God daily, because that wasn't an easy task, to be the one whose job it was to protect your livelihood from all the wild animals and critters and things like that, especially at nighttime when you don't have like a cell phone that you can just turn on the light and look what's going on, you know, that those sounds in the night sound a lot bigger and closer when that darkness is looming, right? And so David, daily and nightly, trusted God in a way that would bring about protection. So David trusted God daily, and then he was ending up, they brought him in and they anointed him, and then it was years and years and years before he would be that king, but God had to put God's seal of approval on him, going, this guy, watch him, because good and great things are going to happen to him. But daily he trusted God. And then secondly is that we see that David worshiped God daily. And we have some fantastic psalms that he wrote. A lot of our psalms are written and attributed to David. But the passage right here behind me from 2 Samuel, and then this piece of art is maybe one of the best, absolute best kind of stories of the Ark of the Covenant was coming back into Jerusalem, coming back in. So this sacred thing, this thing that is the holiest of holies, is coming back into the city. And David, like, just strips down to his whitey-tighties and starts dancing around. Isn't that the weirdest thing? Man. And now, if he was your partner, all right, his wife let him have it. Like, dude, what are you doing? You are the king. This isn't the way a king acts. Are you kidding me? You know, what are the people going to say? How am I going to go out in the streets anymore? Because look at what you're doing. This is the most ridiculous thing I have ever seen. And David's response is, are you kidding me? Like, the thing that we haven't had, the Holy of Holies, is coming back into. We have to worship in a way that is just extravagant. And sure, it might look weird to you, But I'm, you know, it's that whole I'm dancing for an audience of one. I'm giving my whole self to the worship of God. If we think about then that 23rd Psalm that we hear so often, we think about the ways in which David is writing these songs, even maybe when he was still tending to those pastures and thinking, God, I am worshiping you because you are that one who protects me, who builds a table before me in front of my enemies. My cup runs over. God, I am that one that is going to worship you daily. And then the third thing that I want us to take home is that what David also did was he expected God to show up daily. So at that time, what is the most famous story that we know of David, that we talk about David? What is it? What do you think about? Right? David and Goliath, yeah. Or that beautiful piece of poetic scripture where it says that he slung the stone at the giant and the stone sunk into his forehead. Isn't that just weird imagery, right? Like you have to put that in there that like clearly he's not going to make it, but that it sunk in. Weird. But you know what David was doing right before that? He didn't go off to say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go find that Philistine champion. I know that he's 18 feet taller than me, but man, I'm going to take him out because my brothers aren't going to do it. No, he was like Uber Eats. He was bringing his brothers lunch on the battlefield and just happened to be like, oh, why are you guys all back here? I'm just, this is like the delivery line, but shouldn't you be up like part engaging in the fighting? And then he sees this big giant of a man, Goliath, and he goes, oh, is that the problem? You know, and I'm sure that Goliath was terrifying and all that, but like, he goes, oh, I expect God daily to show up. In the fields, I expect God to show up. And so I have battled, I have protected the flocks against bears and wolves and everything else. And God has shown up, so why wouldn't God show up now? And so he goes, oh, I'll go take care of him. Hold on, guys, here, hold my fish and whatever lunch you have. He goes, and the king says, well, if you're going to go, at least look the part, take my armor. And he goes, I don't need that. It's not going to fit me, and God's got this. So he goes, and he slays a giant. Why? Because he expects God to show up. Isn't that pretty powerful? That daily he's trusting God. Daily he's worshiping God. Daily he's expecting God to show up. And so this idea of daily coming in contact with what God is up to doesn't just allow us to have this appropriate understanding in the past of what God has done, but living with this kind of enthusiasm that daily trusts, worships, and expects that God is going to do something, it focuses us on what God might do today. And so everything is rosy for David since then, right? He does everything perfect. No, not quite, right? So what happens is that David loses his first love. And so think about some of those things that maybe you wrote down on your next step sheets about what are you excited about right now? So what are some of those things that you wrote about what you are excited about right now? What'd you write? Yeah, pitchers and catchers, they're reporting. Yeah, excellent. Good, right? Nice. We're taking a little midweek family vacation because being pastor's kids is sometimes the worst. And so when we start getting into the Lenten season, we start getting towards Easter, our lives shift a little bit. And so we're taking the kids on a little mini vacation this week. I'm really excited about that because we're going to kind of unplug and get away and not do what we typically do. Yeah, what else? What are you guys excited about? Starting a daily journal. Yeah, nice. Belt. Your bike trainer? Yeah. Yeah, right? Cool. Yeah. So one of the things that we see through Scripture is that David gets excited about other stuff too, right? And maybe he lost that first love, and some of those ramifications were that then he wasn't going out and being with his people like he should have been. Instead, while everybody was out and he was a king that maybe he lost his first love, and so maybe he just didn't want to get up in the morning when they all went out, and so he was back at kind of the stronghold while they were on the front lines. And then there was this lady that was just doing her thing, and her name was Bathsheba, and we try to make it all poetic, but man, it was a terrible thing that David decided, hey, you're gonna be my wife, and then they had kids, and then he sent her husband to die on the front lines, and then all because he lost his first love. because what he decided was important. All that thing, all the trust, the worship, the expectation, his hands were like this going, God, I'm going to let you bless me with these gifts. And something happened. It probably happened slowly. But all of a sudden, that posture of gift went to grasp. And he said, I'm going to take these things because I have lost my first love and I have forgotten where I have come from. And the gift went to grasp. And now all of a sudden, all these ramifications happened. He lost trust. He lost power. He lost favor with God. He broke relationships. There were people who died because he lost his first love. It was tough, right? And sometimes, I mean, oftentimes, it is so easy for us to lose that first love. Pastor Mike Slaughter says it takes us 24 hours to lose a healthy fear of God. It takes us 24 hours to lose that first love. And so as we think about that, as we think about the way that we went, sometimes we go from gift to grasp and you owe me this stuff, our enthusiasm for life starts to go down too, doesn't it? And so I was with, I was having conversation at a previous church with one of the other pastors there, and we were talking, and it was in this time where one of the things that he would have written that he was excited about was his new GPS that he got. And it was like years after GPSs were like a thing, and I couldn't understand his excitement because my phone did that same thing, right? But he was like, man, have you seen these? They tell you where to go. I was like, yeah, man, I've seen them. I've got them. My phone doesn't. No, your phone doesn't do it like this. Okay, tell me more. And so like 20 minutes go by, and he's like, I can even change the voice. And so one day I went into his car, and I changed it to Snoop Dogg, and he couldn't figure out why. But it was amazing. But he goes through all this stuff, and I said to him at the end of the conversation, man, I wish I was excited about Jesus as you are about your GPS. And he just goes, oh. And so then like a week or two later when he was up next for the preaching cycle, he starts off his message and he goes, I want you to be as excited about Jesus as I am about my GPS. And I was like, no, you missed the point, man. You're supposed to change the things. But sometimes what happens is that we miss it. And we get so, like verse 20 said, that we get so wrapped up in being ashamed about what God is having us do. About sometimes we need to worship with abandon. And then we think, but what is everybody else going to think? And so what happens is that when we recognize that we have lost our first love, we need to go back to the things that allowed us to have that first love in the first place. And so we need to start daily looking and trusting in what God is doing in our lives. We need to daily start worshiping and journaling and reading and interacting with Scripture and doing the things that God has called us to do daily. We need to expect that God is going to show up. As long as we can then tune into what God is saying, man, there can be powerful things happening, right? But we have to do all those things. How often? Monthly? Weekly? No, daily, right? Daily. If we are to worship, if we are to trust, if we are to expect that God is going to show up, that just because all the books in our Bible, we're not adding to them right now, that doesn't mean that God is not acting anymore. And so when we start to do those things, what happens is that we start to tune in to hear what God is up to and doing in our lives. And then daily we can live with this enthusiasm that says, God is going to do something powerful through me today. And because of that, I'm going to be on the lookout because I'm going to expect that somewhere along my day, I don't know what that might look like, but somewhere along my day, I'm going to do something that is going to be a transformative act for somebody else or maybe for myself so that I don't lose that first love that I have. And so when we talk about the way that we read this scripture, as we talk about what happens with this then that we take into our Monday and our so what question, you know, we could almost read all of the scripture that Aaron read for us today as reading, there is no wasted work if we are doing it enthusiastically for God. Because Paul says, you guys are complaining that other people are preaching about Jesus for different motives than you. And you're mad about that. But people are still being transformed by that good news. Why are you complaining? He says, I'm not going to be ashamed by what God is doing through me. Let us not differentiate. Let us not kind of split hairs about, well, they're preaching it this way and it's not quite right because we preach it this way, you know, and we've lifted up and we've lost our first love because we think that our theology or the way that we do things are the only right way. And yet Paul's going, guys, you're missing the point. People are seeing what God is doing. People are being transformed. People are hearing the good news and saying, man, I can live enthusiastically, not because of who I am, but because of the one who made me. And that is a blessing. And so this week, if we work on daily trusting, worshiping, and expecting God to be there, it allows us each morning to wake up in a way that says, God is going to do something powerful through me. And so with that enthusiasm, I'm going to focus on what God's doing today, not just yesterday, not just sometime in the future, but today, and allow me to wring the most out of life that I can. This week, may we be present and filled with that understanding that God is going to do something powerful through each and every one of us to transform this world. Let's pray. God of grace, we pray that you might create a clean heart within each of us, that we might be the people that you have called us to be, God, that we might understand that at times we lose our first love, but like David in Psalm 51, we cry out that you might see what offends you and cleanse that.